Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, listen, God's News Behind the News. I know we've been talking about Pastor Youssef and him just being released from prison. But Pastor Youssef, for those that don't know, he was an Iranian pastor who was
He still is, right? The pastor there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's an Iranian pastor who was sentenced to death for sharing the gospel, sharing the good news in Iran. And so for the last 3 years, many believers and many people across the world have been praying for his release. And earlier this month, he was released. It was just a miracle from heaven. But he wrote a letter thanking the supporters and thanking everyone that prayed for him. And it's pretty amazing. You know, several times they gave him the opportunity, several times, to renounce Jesus. And he just refused. He said he could never do that. And so he was willing to stay in prison, even give his life. And I think about the loyalty of Youssef. And I think about the awesome commitment he has to God, and says, "No, I won't. You know, if I perish, I perish." And so in the beginning of this letter, he quotes the scripture, Psalm 115, verse 1, "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory for your faithfulness, for your loyalty." And it just got me to thinking about the loyalty of God and his loyalty, you know, Youssef's loyalty to the Lord. And as I was abiding today, I was reading 2 Samuel 15, and this really stuck out to me. 2 Samuel 15, Absalom, which is the son of David, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit.
He is a paraphrase.
Yeah, I know it. He decided to do a different thing. He decided to take over basically his dad's kingdom. It's pretty horrible. And so he would go down to the area where the citizens lived, and they'd come up and he'd hear what their issues were. And basically, he was just dissing his dad. He was saying, "Listen, if the king had a representative here to help you, I'm sure you have a valid claim. This would be taken care of." And then he would kiss their hand and win their favor. Well, before you know it, in a short amount of time.
You're talking about Washington or what?
Talking about Absalom.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Are you paying attention? Come on now.
What are you talking about, you know, meeting somebody at the gate and kissing their hand, trying to take over?
Oh, come on now. Well, he was trying to win their favor.
He was giving them, okay.
Yeah, and just basically tell them what they wanted to hear and listening to their issues.
Which he learned from watching his father.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But he basically, within a short amount of time, he stole the hearts of the people. He's like, "Oh my goodness, you know, here's Absalom, totally disloyal to the king, totally disloyal to his dad. Mm-hmm. This is horrible." Well, King David gets news that, "Listen, you know, your son is he set himself up. He winds up going to Hebron, asks his dad to go to another city," and he sets himself up.
Isn't that wild? I love David's response, don't you?
Yeah, go ahead and go.
Yeah. Maybe God will see this and reward me. Mm-hmm. But also like his right-hand man's statement. "You want me to take his head off?" We're all human.
Right. I know, that's right. So he goes and sets himself up in this whole plan, this thing he hatched, where the people are going to swear him to be the king of Hebron, this other city in the kingdom of Israel. Well, in this whole thing, he decides that he's going to go and one of the messengers tells King David, "Listen, your son's gone a whack. He set himself up as king, and he's coming." And David says, "Listen," he tells all his officials, we got to get out of here. We got to go because, you know, this is not going to be good for Absalom. It's not going to be good for us." And he begins to leave. And he walks out with all these people, and they're leaving out of Israel. And you only can imagine what David is going through. Here's your son, whom you raised, I'm saying, and loved on. He's turning his back on him. And it's like, wow, this is horrible. And so as they're leaving, you know, there's so many people in God's word, and so many people everywhere that, you know, you're familiar with all sometimes the heroes of the faith and ones that they get mentioned a lot. But this is a guy here that you maybe have never heard of. His name is Ittai the Gittite.
Wait a minute. Like
Ittai the Gittite.
Oh, he's Ty.
No. His name is Ittai.
Ittai.
Yep.
Ittai.
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 Itai.
I'm trying to practice so I can get this, because if we've never heard of him before, we want to practice Itai.
You may have never.
This is one of our brain parts, so we have to be careful.
Here it comes.
We have to be careful because it could be Itai. That's the reason why it's going to part. This is good, by the way. This is good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can feel it, man. I can feel it. Okay, Itai. Got it.
Check. Okay, good. Itai the Gitai. So David looks over to him and says, you know, basically, why should you come along with us? You know, go back and stay with King Absalom. He says, David's humility is amazing here. He says, you're a foreigner in exile from your homeland. You know, you've only came here yesterday.
Now, where's Absalom at? Is he at Hebron or is he?
Well, he's coming over to take over Israel. And so, the King David and his men and his people, they're leaving. You know, they're
leaving Jerusalem.
Yeah, they're gone.
Okay, so the followers of God's chosen person is leaving the kingdom.
Right.
He's over. And now Absalom is coming back. No, he's actually coming to take over his father's kingdom.
Right.
And so where is this Ittai guy?
Well, he's walking along with them.
With King David.
With King David in this procession.
So he was in Jerusalem before, that he just left with David and from Jerusalem.
Right.
Got it. Okay. I just want to make sure, because that's just good. It's good.
With this whole group. And so David looks over to him and says, listen, you should just basically stay here with Absalom. Calls Absalom the king now. He's like, why don't you just talk, you know, stay with Absalom. It's going to be better for you.
Yeah. Let him have it. Go ahead. We'll watch. Yeah. I can't wait to get his newsletter. It's good. Is it not?
And then he says, This is.
But wouldn't you want to hear what Absalom has to say? How he's running the kingdom? I mean, seriously.
What I want?
All of us would, wouldn't you? I'm serious. I'm not joking. I'm serious. It's like wait for the newspaper to come out next week.
Right.
Like, what is he going to say in the context of that? You know what I'm saying? Okay, I'm just listening. This is good.
Okay. All right.
So the Ittite's going back. Because King David called Absalom king.
No, he's not. He's not going back.
Okay.
I'll tell you what the Ittai does.
I'm sorry.
All right. The Ittai replies to the king. He says, as surely as the Lord lives and as my Lord, the king lives, wherever my Lord, the king may be, whether it means life or death, there your servant will be. And it's like, man, the loyalty is amazing. You know, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is guy inside the get tight. You know, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, man, how would I respond to this? Here's your son, he's coming taking over, he's disloyal. And here's this, it's like the get tight coming, you know, he just got here yesterday, and David's saying, you know, so humble, was like, look, go back, man. You know, this is not between you. And he says, listen, I pledge my allegiance, I pledge my loyalty with you. You're the king.
The Ittite said, no, David, I'm just gonna be with you, King David.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be with you.
Because he knew it was right.
It was the right thing.
Right.
Not only was it the right thing, but you look at loyalty. You look at, you know, a person that's willing. You see a loyalty in the face of someone that's being disloyal. And you're like, oh, my goodness. And it's something you think about these days. Instead of just meditating, just thinking about this. Like, man, where do you see that? You know, where do you see where very few people, it appears these days, you know, and obviously there's some. And, you know, you always hear, you know, about them. But loyalty is, you know, has it become underrated? I mean, you think about what it actually means to be loyal, to be committed, you know, and here's this Ittite who says, listen, I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to be with you. So I look at the word, you know, loyal means to be faithful to one's government, faithful to obligations or commitment, faithful to a leader. And you're like, wow, you know, what was it in Absalom's heart? He had this seed of rebellion. So what was it in his heart that allowed that thing to grow? And it's like, you know, he gave life to those thoughts, rather, that he had. And it's like this thing overcame him. And before you know it, in his heart, he became totally disloyal, totally, you know, dissing his dad here. And you're like, wow, man, loyalty. So much needed in life, so much needed for your own personal life. It's something that you know, we all need, and we all need to make part of our DNA, our character.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to thinking about some of the a slogan that became familiar and is associated with the Marines. And it's called Semper Fidelis, if I'm even saying it right. Semper Fidelis. And they've...
Spell that?
F-I-D-E-L-I-S. They call it, shorten it for Semper Fi.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah. Yeah. That's what
Semper
I used to hear.
Fi, yeah. Semper Fidelis. And it's, yeah, they say Semper Fi, and it means always loyal. But I always thought that was associated with the Marines. I didn't know that. It started back in the 1800s. You know, families were taking that slogan on the coat of arms, and they were putting it as their family slogan and their motto, Semper Fidelis, Semper Fi, always loyal, always loyal, always faithful.
And you have to be when you don't have big government, because it's a government by the people and for the people. We have to operate in the context that I'm loyal. It's e pluribus unum, mm-hmm. You know, out of many, we're one, that we're loyal to the Constitution and what it stands for. And that we are reliant upon God and our Constitution, and that our rights come from God. And that comes with the loyalty. The only thing that's going to hold you together as a family is loyalty. Nothing, there's no, you know what I'm saying? Right. A true family. You can call yourself family, but if it's got stucco holding you in, I mean, that's the only thing that keeps you there.
Exactly.
And nothing. I got good friends that like stucco. I'm not talking about stucco. You know what I'm saying? Family's family. When I'm around you, I just know that we're family. As a matter of fact, I had a chance to spend some time with LaDonna, a friend of mine, yesterday, and we had lunch together, and, you know, she's my sister of the Lord, and that, you know, we both are just loving, talking about Jesus and just loving on Jesus and hearing what's going on and, you know, and the great things, how God's blessing her and her husband, and nothing held us there but love.
Mm-hmm.
Love for God and love for each other. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry, but yeah,
no,
loyalty.
Not, that's
and we were discussing, you know, our loyalty to each other for the cause of Christ, our loyalty to the Lamb, you know?
Exactly. And that's the greatest loyalty. I mean, people are, you know, putting loyalty in so many different things, but it's like, really? You know, it's loyalty even to a party. And it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
There's no salvation in no party. There's no salvation in, I mean, and you know, it's like, listen, we need to pledge loyalty and allegiance to God. And so, you know, there was another article that was came up in the news, and they were talking about Christians in India. And it's amazing that there's a law right now in India that basically says that if a person's going to switch religions now, they're going to change from being Hindu or whatever else, you know, other religion that's in India, and there's a whole lot of them. But if they're going to become a Christian, they have to register 30 days in advance, 30 days in advance to let them know that they're going to be a Christian, and then that is.
Yeah, you know, I'm really thinking. You know, right. I'm gonna be walking down the street, and a believer is gonna come up to me, and they're gonna share with me the gospel in 28 and a half days,
mm-hmm.
and I want to be able to project to that. So I got a business plan. The business plan is my intentions are to have eternal life. Don't know how it works yet. Don't even know if it's possible. But I'm gonna bump into a witness of Jesus down the road.
Right?
Isn't that crazy?
Crazy, crazy. And listen, failure to provide this now. In notice,
are you serious?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
Notice this requires a mandatory police investigation, prosecution, and sanctions.
No, they got 1 billion gods.
Exactly.
And the one true God, Jesus, they can't, you know, God and his son Jesus. You got to register to be able to be a believer?
Call the clue.
Wow.
So all persons desiring to change their religion, they're listed in a public list now. So now once they decide they're going to be on a public list, and now what happens over there is the extremist Hindus, they're actually going and literally persecuting, torturing them. They're trying to kill them. They're doing all kinds of stuff to them. It's really horrible. There's a class called, I think, that the Lotus, but they were formerly called the Untouchables. A lot of people knew this class in India. There's 300 million of them, and they're considered the Untouchables. And what they're afraid of is that all of these Untouchables, quote unquote, are actually going to find salvation in Jesus Christ. It's like, listen, you can't put any law on anybody. That once people want to find God and they hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, especially if I'm an Untouchable, you have me in the lowest caste. Possible, when I find out the good news of the kingdom, when I find out about Jesus Christ, a savior for me, there's nothing going to hold me back from my loyalty to him. There's nothing going to hold me back. And
American Christianity, you know, would obviously cash in about 5 seconds into that. You know, I got to give up my nonprofit status that I can't have a tax exemption in my 401k. I won't give that up for a 401j, but the Christianity that you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, of not just hanging around the cross, as Steve Hill says, but getting on the cross.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, I think about they have a program. You can see it on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. It's called Printing India. And what they're doing is they're saying, we just want to help you out. Let me tell you something. Satan controls you by what he gives you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it comes in a lot of different things. But a religious control comes through a Jezebel spirit. And if you want to keep taking from her or his hand under the guise of religion, you know, because you get something out of it, don't be surprised that you can't shake bowing down to their gods.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're saying is we want to get the middleman out and we want to be able to provide for you. And there's a billion people in India and they're saying most guys hadn't even seen a computer before.
Yeah.
And they're walking, their first computer they see is they're putting their hand on it to be scanned. They're scanning their retinas. They are identifying them, and they're giving them, setting them up for, quote, micro loans so we can get the middleman out. And it's like, dude, oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Crazy.
Totally crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you look at this cast, these groups, it's 300 million. That's the population of the United States, just them alone.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking, you know what? The loyalty of some believers in other countries, I mean, just to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, once they get baptized, once they publicly decide that, you know, they're going to follow God and they're going to follow Jesus, they're going to get baptized, that's it.
Yeah.
But many times people disown them, their family disowns them, they have to, you know, sometimes they're trying to even kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like...
And turn them in.
Yeah. And you think about it's just so admirable. And you think, you know what? Let the church in America have that type of loyalty, God. You know, I was just praying about it. Look, Lord, we need that loyalty, that commitment.
We're definitely about to go through the trial, you know, so maybe we'll come out of that. You're right. You're absolutely right.
You know, in the face of all, you look at, you know, even the ones before, you look at even the 12 disciples, you know, they were willing to commit their lives and willing to follow Jesus everywhere and preach the good news and share the gospel of the kingdom. And even the way they died, even the way they lost their life, you're thinking, God, this is awesome. May we all have that allegiance. May we all have that loyalty, Jesus, to follow you wherever you go and to make you the Lord of our lives.
And if they can do that there, man, we can do awesome things for God.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.